Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Mike and I still talking with listeners here who have come out to hang with us at Twin Peaks. We'd love to get a chance to see you guys out here. See my man right here. He's always coming out to hang with us, man. Appreciate you stopping back through and joining Hey Man L.
We were just talking about Irving, the player from the Cowboys, who's basically went on his own Instagram page, smoked some weed, said he's out. We were just having a good conversation. A couple guys just left the bar, and one guy said, look, until it's legal in all the states where the NFL is playing.
That's true.
The NFL doesn't really have a chance to make a move necessarily. I mean, I get you, and I don't want to, it's funny because we talked about this, I immediately got hit on our text line, brought to you by Solomon Brothers, our diamond text line at 404-741-0929, both sides of the issue, we had guys that are, hey, legalize it, legalize it. I'm just saying, and I was just talking to one of our servers, I asked, what do you think, Bree? She's like, I don't care either way, and I don't care either way.
I don't either.
All I do, the only time I care about the legalization of weed is when one of my favorite players gets suspended on my team. That's when I've got an issue with it. But by the way, don't get it twisted, the last conversation Carl and I had, that somehow we think that David Irving, the kid from the Cowboys?
Yeah.
He is not the poster child for legalize. He sounds like a dumb jock who doesn't really have perspective on this. But I do think in the case of a lot of athletes out there, the guys make a good case. He's not necessarily making a good case. He looks like a guy throwing away $1 million a year a contract.
He does. And that's, as I preference the conversation, some things are important, more important to some people and others than others.
Right.
And if smoking weed is the most important thing in your life, my guess is, just a guess, you might not be as productive as you could be.
Right.
Bo Morgan said something to us in the break there, and I just want to bring this up. We're going to get to our NFL Blitz. It's on the way. Chuck Smith is going to join us at 420, guys. Pass rush specialist and obviously a former Falcon who's done a lot of stuff after his career to really enhance how pass rush is looked at and guys around the league working with them. So we're going to have a great conversation with Chuck in the 4 o'clock hour, so stay tuned for that. But you were mentioning, and I want you to say this because there's nothing wrong with it, but you were saying the perception is if the NFL was to allow this, that you're letting a bunch of millionaires, right, and these guys would be complaining, oh, I can't smoke my weed. And I thought it was interesting because I don't see it that way, but a lot of people would.
Well, yeah, there are a lot of people that run skid loaders for a job, Bobcats and drive UPS. Guess what? They get drug tested.
That's right.
They're not allowed to smoke weed. If they do, they get suspended and fired. They'll get their CDLs
removed,
suspended,
yeah,
and revoked. And they don't want to hear a millionaire on Instagram crying because 6 months out of the year he can't smoke weed. All right? They don't care. And that makes the league look bad. And I get where David Irving's coming from, but he even said, oh, NBA players could do it. But they just are smart about it. Just people don't want to hear people
cry. They don't want it in their face.
Yeah, and if you want to smoke weed and not make millions of dollars and then go smoke whatever you want, live wherever you want because you can afford your own island, basically, then go do that. But no one sympathizes for you.
Yeah, but it's like yesterday we talked about the Adam Silver comments about guys, oh, NBA players are so unhappy. You got to be kidding me. Now, if a guy's got legitimate clinical depression, that's one thing, but you're so isolated because you don't know how to interact with other people because of the digital age we live in, because of social media, whatever. That sounds as ridiculous as what Bo's talking about. I get it. You're always going to have some. There'll always be that player-hating segment of the population. Oh, these guys, these millionaires playing a kid's game. But you guys, what some people don't get is the way you and I approach drinking a beer or a bourbon, that's the way some people approach marijuana.
Absolutely.
And I get it. It's not legal in 50 states. I understand that side of it. But there's some people who've grown up with the culture, and they see it as a harmless vice. And I'd rather see one of my favorite players, if his knees are sore, smoking marijuana than taking Darvocet or some kind of a painkiller.
Well, that's what I said earlier. That's not an excuse. I'm just sharing with you what I've been told and what I know from guys in the league. And, again, it's not everybody. If somebody asked me, and I have been asked this question, so how many guys actually use in the league? I don't know. I couldn't tell you how many guys. On a team, I don't know. Is it five guys? Yeah. It's certainly not 25 guys on a team. I don't know what that number is. But this is just, again, a bigger conversation, which is why Mike and I are talking about it. It goes beyond David Irving. who now is on social media and people are talking about this, to basically stick the bird at the NFL and say, I'm going to smoke weed now because I'm out of the league. It just speaks to a bigger societal thing that we're talking about. So understand that.
But
this is not about him.
And just to wrap it up, I mean, the NFL condones, I'll give you the biggest player at his time, Brett Favre, getting hooked on Vicodin.
Yes.
You know, the NFL condones the team doctor writing script after script after script, but a guy can't go and smoke a J on his time off. That's where I have a problem.
All right, man. You can text us 404-741-0929. I'm wondering how many guys are like, yeah, if they let me smoke, I smoke. Hey, man, let's get to an NFL Blitz.
Welcome to the NFL.
With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
Where else she going to hear that conversation, by the way? Just wondering. Okay. Hey, speaking of the Blitz, guys, let's talk about Antonio Brown, Mike, and where he might end up. I don't know if you're an Antonio Brown fan. I'm a fan of what he does on the field. I'm a fan of his talent and certainly his ability when it's on display. I'm not a fan of the diva-like tendencies that I've seen over the last few months. And so, you know, the Steelers are trying to move him. We heard yesterday that by Friday, today, that might be the case. It's not. And there was a deal on the table with the Bills. Antonio Brown's like, I'm not going to the Bills. So the Bills backed out, and they got a ton of money to spend.
Two things. The Steelers have got to get him off the books. If you missed our conversation earlier, Bo, our producer, pointing out $20 million dead cap hit. We had a $9 million dead cap hit when Mike went to jail, when Mike Vick went to jail in 2007. Mm. So imagine $20 million dead cap hit. You can't get anything for that. Nothing. There's a big slice of your pie. You can't get anybody for it. So the Steelers have got to get him off the books. But the problem now is there's multiple reports saying, and this is something you and I talked about a few weeks ago. I said, you know, wherever Antonio Brown goes, he's going to want a Julio Jones type bump.
That's right.
He just signed a deal with the Steelers, and now reports are he wants to be the highest paid wide receiver, which would put him a dollar over what Odell Beckham is making, which was perhaps why the Bills said, thanks, but no thanks.
So what's next? Where does Antonio Brown go? And what is the marketplace? I think a lot of NFL fans believe, oh, well, every team would want him. Well, that may be true, just for, again, from the talent standpoint. But I can't dismiss, Mike, what may happen in my locker room. I stated this morning on a tweet, and you guys can follow us. It's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. And, of course, follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Wherever he goes, there better be a strong locker room presence. Because Antonio Brown, and you've already seen it, you give him a rope, he wants to be a cowboy. You give him a little leeway, and he's willing to run with it. There better be a strong locker room presence wherever he ends up.
Antonio Brown said last month he was not looking for a new contract, asked if he was traded. And then Albert Breer from SportsIllustrated.com reports that one team, at least, Carl, one team that was involved with the talks with the Steelers was told that Antonio Brown wants to be the highest paid wide receiver in the league, Giants wideout Odell Beckham, currently making $18 million. So this maybe gets the Jets back in the mix or the Colts, because there's only a number of teams that can actually take this hit right now. That's why I thought when the Antonio Brown sweepstakes began, I looked at the teams that were the top three in cap space. Redskins are not one. The Raiders aren't one. And those are teams also linked to Antonio Brown.
It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. And by the way, if you are the Steelers, all right, you got to think about it this way. Free agency starts March 13th. That's next Wednesday. Mike, that's why today was important.
I got to get this deal done.
That's right. I got to get him off the books so I can potentially go spend some of this money to go help our football team. We know they need a running back, obviously, and maybe you might not feel that way. They've got some guys in the pipeline, but they certainly need to go out and try to enhance their football team. You can't do that with this noose around your neck.
Well, I mean, you throw in the personal thing and, how he reacted this last season in Pittsburgh, missing the last game of the season with the season on the line for the playoffs. You know, the fact that he got into it, he didn't like the fact Juju Smith-Schuster became a bigger target.
Right.
So here's the deal. You're going to give that guy a bump, take him up to $18 million. He's 31 years of age. And then, of course, Father Time has beaten everybody, including wide receivers. Do you feel you really want to take that shot? It's just – it makes them almost untradeable at this point. They'll find a trading partner. They have to. But, man, how are they going to make this money work?
It is going to be interesting. NFL Blitz, guys, as we broadcast live from Twin Peaks and Buckhead. Meanwhile, another big deal went down today. The Browns are sending guard Kevin Zeitler to New York. This is the Giants in exchange for pass rusher Olivier Vernon. Now, we'll ask Chuck Smith about this. They get, in essence, a guard. Their offensive line has been terrible, okay?
Yep.
And so, for the Giants, they're willing to make this exchange in a trade. I think it actually helps the Giants if you want to still go with Eli Manning, which is what it sounds like they're going to do.
Yeah, Dave Gettleman, the general manager, is still running that up the flagpole. I mean, dude, you've got a wide receiver, you got a great tight end, and you got the best running back in the league, arguably. You really want to roll the dice with Eli? I mean, unless you feel Dwayne Haskins can come in and do what Matt Ryan did in 2008 or do what Deshaun Watson did before he got injured.
So that deal going down today, and I don't know, you know, maybe Falcon fans are going, wait a minute, we could have used Olivier.
Olivier Vernon is so inconsistent.
No.
It was a ridiculous contract when the Giants signed him when he left the Dolphins as a
free
overpaid
agent. They overpaid him. Speaking of getting overpaid, you guys have any interest in Michael Bennett? Only ring it up because Michael Bennett says he will not take a pay cut in Philadelphia, and a lot of people think that he is going to become available.
I don't want Michael Bennett. He smokes marijuana, I bet you. He knocked over that woman in a wheelchair at the Super Bowl.
Yes, he did.
I don't know what the cost is going to be. Look, there's only one time I really, really wanted Michael Bennett.
Two seasons ago,
and when we could have had him in 2013, but we took Steven Jackson.
Okay.
We had Cliff Averill out there and Bennett, and we went with a running back that year in the free agent market.
Yeah, reports are out that the Eagles are shopping him in potential trades, and Michael Bennett's basically saying, I'm not taking a pay cut. So that is part of what's going on. He wants more money? Well, that ain't happening. Bo just said he wants more money. That's not going to happen. Remember, he was traded from the Seahawks to the Eagles. Pro Football Focus, if you believe in those things, they say Bennett had 22 quarterback hits, 44 pressures, including the playoffs. So how do you rate that as far as his production? I don't know if that gets you a raise, but it's certainly, you know, Bennett's scheduled to make $7.2 million.
Look, I mean, yes, in a perfect world, if I had the cap space, I would take a guy like Michael Bennett on. Falcon fans get upset. He doesn't fit the team's profile.
Here's the thing, though.
But
you know what, though? Even as we're talking about Bennett, 7.2. We're about to pay a guy 12.8.
Who would you rather pay? Who would you rather pay money to? Vic Beasley or Michael Bennett? Exactly.
No-brainer.
Michael Bennett gets the job done.
It's a no-brainer. Hey, the Redskins trade for Case Keenum. If you didn't hear this, it happened late yesterday. They need a quarterback. Remember that gruesome injury that happened?
Yeah, it's hard to think that Alex Smith's NFL career is not over, right?
It is.
Or at least wearing a baseball hat for a year. But he's still months away from even trying that.
Case Keenum goes to the Redskins from the Denver Broncos. Six-rounder in 2020 to Denver, with the Redskins getting the Broncos' seventh-rounder in 2020. Keenum got a reworked contract, by the way, if you're wondering, with the Broncos paying him $500,000 restructured bonus, as well as $3.5 million of his $7 million guaranteed salary. So Washington will pay the other $3.5 million of the guarantee, and Case Keenum now becomes, I think, the starter. But if you're the Redskins, don't you draft a guy?
Yeah, there's links with the Redskins to Drew Locke. There's also even Kyler Murray talk with the Redskins. I mean, here's the other thing. But if you are the owner of the Redskins, Daniel Snyder, and thank God we're not, other than being a billionaire, such a kind of a toolbox, but you're going to make the big decision. What's the guarantee Jay Gruden's going to be your coach next year?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
There's
no
security
big picture.
There. Yeah, there's no security.
You know, but the Redskins are so dysfunctional in the general manager's position. I mean, everything from top to bottom there. But, yeah, it's interesting. Case Keenum. John Elway goes from him to Flacco. When the story broke yesterday, I was joking around. I was like, well, they could go get Foles. And Squidbilly's like, oh, yeah, they got Flacco. I'm like, wow, talk about mediocre quarterback to mediocre quarterback.
Yeah.
And you really don't, unfortunately for John Elway, it's been nothing but snake eyes trying to draft a quarterback the last couple of years.
Hey, we've been talking a lot about Kyler Murray over the last few days with the comments of Charlie Casserly. And, again, whatever you think of Casserly, whether you think it was a snake job as far as the information he put out there. But apparently, according to Jim Trotter, guys, the Chargers were one of 10 teams to interview Kyler Murray at the Combine. Coach Anthony Lynn told Jim Trotter that Kyler was impressive, sharp, and had great recall at the whiteboard.
See, it's interesting. You heard the comments of Gil Brandt. And Gil Brandt, of course, knew Kyler growing up as a kid. He vouched for him. Charlie Casserly's got himself over a barrel on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Because how many teams exactly told you the things you put out there? And one of the things that you and I said when this story broke, kid's done nothing but be a kick-ass athlete at everything he's tried. He was a top 10 baseball pick.
Yep.
Could be a potential top 10 NFL draft pick. All the work, a Heisman Trophy season, getting Oklahoma right back into the semifinal. And all the work you put in, it takes two sound bites from Charlie Cassidy to make you sound like you're the biggest piece of garbage in the world. Not fair.
It's not. And, you know, whether you, I don't think.
Now, this stuff happens every draft.
It does.
But this is still a young man's life we're talking about.
And I don't think Anthony Lynn has any reason to lie about it, but 10 teams interviewed him in that interview process where you get 15 minutes with the kid.
Right.
So, again, take it for what it's worth. We said this. That was one report. More information will come out, but that's an interesting comment and certainly a report by Jim Trotter. Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell. We're live at Twin Peaks. Come on out and hang out with us out here in Buckhead. We'd love to get a chance to see you guys out here. Coming up, we're going to talk with Chuck Smith. We'll get into some Falcon conversation. He is on the way and is going to join us live down here, by the way. And we'll talk not only about Vic Beasley. I know everybody wants to know how you fix Vic, and we'll ask him if it's possible or what he thinks as far as production. But there are other guys on this D-line, including Tack McKinley, that needs to improve his numbers.
And also want to hear from Chuck about some of the guys out there in the draft, because Chuck is always working with some guys. Curious to see who he's putting the time in, and especially the defensive tackles. Who does Chuck think will be a good fit for the Falcons? By the way, we're getting some blue sky here in Buckhead, brother. You can sit outside. Weather's perfect. Come out and join the party, why don't you, Twin Peaks? And they do have Hey Man Ale. Ask your server for Ice Cold Dukes and Bell Hey Man
Ale. Please do. Please
from Oconee Brewing. They got it right here. And it's 24. My God, that's cold beer. 25.6 degrees cold.
That is cold. That's colder than normal. You know, that's colder than...
What's colder?
What's colder than cold?
Ice cold.
All right, man, we're coming back. We got plenty more to get to, including a guy we've all been waiting to see. And finally tonight, we'll get a chance to see him. We'll tell you about it next. It is Friday. There's too much
booty in the pants.
There's too much
booty in the pants.
What? We are trying to enhance the party atmosphere out here at Twin Peaks.
Just going down memory lane, little booty-related song at a booty-related bar here at the Twin Peaks in Buckhead.
Come on out, man. Enjoy Hey Man Ale. It is Friday, like we said, and a couple of guys were in here earlier. They were like, it's payday. I'm not going back to work. That could be you. You could be hanging out and realize I'm not going back to work.
So join the party. White collar, blue collar, no collar. Join the party here at Twin Peaks as we're hanging out till 7 o'clock. Big Chuck Smith's going to join us. He'll be talking plenty about pass rush and what's going on with this team and where we're at. And certainly, guys, we always like to get Chuck's take on the draft as well because he's always aware of what's going down. Some breaking news, though, Carl, from the National Football League.
Which is?
Well, we talked about the guy and, you know, Michael Bennett, a guy that, you know, certainly – a dude that, you know, he's got skills.
Yep.
Might rub some people the wrong way with his off the field. Who cares? I just want to see the results on the field. But shocking that the Patriots, it's confirmed, initially reported by Jeff McClain.
Stop
from
that,
the
sir.
Philadelphia Inquirer.
You know, security.
Cut them off. Cut them off.
Security.
So who else?
We got two guys. As soon as you said Patriots, start clapping.
The evil genius.
Get him out of here.
Bill Belichick and the Patriots, a trade going down. NFL sources saying draft picks will be ironed out. But Michael Bennett moving on up the coast from Philly to New England. Coach Mumbles not afraid to take on a dude who gets the job done.
This is why they are who they are.
That's right. They make the decisions that we're always afraid to make, or other teams in the NFL.
And we were just saying 7.2, I think it was, scheduled to make, somewhere around there. So, listen.
I mean, that doesn't shock me at all.
No, it doesn't.
They are more like the Raiders were in the 70s and 80s about taking the guys on, that whether you think it's an attitude thing or whatever, they just get winners. You know what? The Patriots always grab winners.
Yeah,
that's what they do.
But I also think that there's a plan when they go out and get these guys. I don't know. See, some teams just make deals to make them. I can tell you right now, if you go back and look at all the Patriots deals, for the most part, guys they've acquired, there's always been a plan, you know? And whether they're troubled souls or issues with guys in other teams,
whatever,
they bring them in and there is a plan. What's up, Bo? You got something else to add to this?
Yeah, the thing about this, and I don't know what the draft picks are, there's no dead cap. So Belichick won't take on a salary, and if you don't work out, he has to pay a hit. If he doesn't work out, if he pulls his stuff, if he says, I want money, Belichick will just cut him because – he acquires all these draft picks every year.
To have the ability to do things like this.
And there's probably – the Eagles needed the cap space. So there's probably a low risk here with a draft pick. So it's no big deal. If it doesn't work out, who cares?
Yeah. So it's Jeff McClain who is reporting this, by the way.
Covers the Eagles for the Philadelphia Inquirer.
Eagles reporter.
First, yeah.
So Michael Bennett to the Patriots going down as he's writing this. Draft pick still being ironed out. There it is.
Yeah, man, we've talked a lot about, you know, where we should be on our defense and what we need to get. You know, if Rashid Hageman had stayed healthy, Carl, we might have had a difficult decision to make about his contract. It would have been coming up last year.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Hageman at tackle, Grady, Tack, you know, if Vic pans out, if Vic's what you thought he was going to be in that draft in 15, you know, we wouldn't be where we're at. And, you know, people are excited about hearing what Chuck Smith has to say, as if Chuck can wave his magic wand and fix this. But Big Chuck guy is coming up in less than an hour right here on Dukes and Bell to talk about it. You just want to get nasty. We were talking with a couple of listeners last commercial break, and they were saying, when's the last time we had two fire breathers? And it's a conversation you and I have had. There was really never a consistent piece opposite John Abraham, the Predator.
Yep.
You got to go back to Rod Coleman, who was kind of like more like an Aaron Donald type, because he actually got after the passer from the defensive tackle position, along with Patrick Kearney, who eventually went on to Seattle. But we've rarely had two guys, unless you go back to the bomb squad days in the Super Bowl season, can get after the QB.
Listen, we had on Slareth during the Super Bowl, and he played in that Super Bowl against us.
Right.
And we'll talk to Chuck Smith about this. And he was like, man, you guys got after the quarterback. And he told us a great story for those who mentioned or missed it during Super Bowl week, Mark Slareth, about what their game plan was, because they knew that we got after the quarterback so well and what they attempted to do. So, Mike, yes, it shouldn't be this long in between having, you know, groups of guys that you've acquired that consistently put pressure on the quarterback.
Right.
I think this group has potential. And I'm talking about Tack and Vic. Now, Vic's been here, but Grady, how do you supplement that? What do you do to go out to add to that? And that's why I still go back to the draft and say, hey, this is why I think we need to go get another big defensive tackle to help with our pass rush. Guys, the middle, if you can create pressure up the middle, it makes it easier for your edge rushers. And so many people get caught up in guys coming off the edge. We didn't get enough of a push in the middle, right, to create that. That's been part of our problem, and I think Dan Quinn knows this. He's a lot smarter than I am when it comes to these things. I just think that's what we're missing along with Grady. It will make the jobs of Tack and Vic a lot easier.
It is kind of funny. Guys are asking me, by the way, how do we get our hands on Rashid Hageman? For those who don't remember, that was the Mike Smith era, and that was where Brian Cox and Smitty, they were the team that was coaching one of the squads in the Senior Bowl down in Mobile, Alabama.
Yep.
And they said, but even when they talked about him, they said, yeah, he could be a project. Like, I don't want projects. I want the finished product, not a project. But in case you're wondering, guys that came after Rashid Hageman, the most Kyle Van Noy, right? Who actually didn't have success with the Lions, but just won a Super Bowl with the Patriots.
That's right. That's right.
And then if you go down a little bit further, Timmy Jernigan, a tight end. Defensive tackle. Also, Safarian Jenkins, who flamed out in Tampa. But so it's always a crapshoot. It wasn't a great draft in that second round, but there were some guys that could have helped the Falcons after Rashid was picked.
This is a draft that can help us. I mean, that's why I'm excited about it. You guys should be, too. I mean, this is not going to be a draft where, you know, there's some years where you go, if that guy's not there, it's going to ruin our whole draft. This is one of those drafts where you got about five or six guys that could be there, and you're literally in the war room, Mike, going, eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
Well, I looked at Jason Butt's column from The Athletic today, and again, I'm not going to break your balls too much, Jason, but again, it's hard to draft offensive linemen was the crux of the piece, and unless, of course, you're the Indianapolis Colts the last two seasons, but they went on to say how, and I think what Jason was inferring is, were the Falcons, you know, brain trust scared off of going high on offensive line with risk-reward, you know? Yeah, Jake Mathis or Taylor Lewan, you could argue we took the lesser of two, and Jake's been solid, if not spectacular.
Yeah.
But Jason's piece was basically saying, with so much up-tempo and spread, it's even more difficult, and we know this, but it's even more difficult for teams to evaluate offensive line.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, there's a couple of guys, Boston College, Lindstrom, the kid we've talked about. If you could get up in the second round and find him, that would really beef up your O-line. And he could start right from day one, Carl.
But that's it. It's not finding them. It's finding guys who can start immediately for your football team, and then, obviously, coaching guys up to develop them. You know, some of these linemen, and this is why they didn't go away from Sambrello, guys. You've helped develop him over the last few years.
Right.
He's played a lot of football for you.
Was a second-round pick, which always gives you a little extra added life.
And so all of a sudden now you go, you know what? We've invested in him. Let's go ahead and try to throw him into the fire here, and we think he's got this capability, whether it's guard or tackle.
Right.
I think it's not finding guys. It's finding guys that who can immediately come into your football team and start. Especially at those positions, is very.
But I mean,
tough.
I understand the crux of the article saying how difficult evaluating offensive line has been, but I still think you can't not draft O-line.
No, you can't ignore it. I think that's our. You know, people think that we've ignored it. I've said this. All right,
we haven't
about
gone
Thomas.
High. We haven't dedicated big time picks to it.
No,
you've shied away from first and second round.
Third, fourth, fifth. You've drafted linemen,
and you've gotten what you paid for.
But they haven't worked out.
Sean Harlow.
They haven't worked out.
Right.
And
Wes Schweitzer.
That's where it's at.
I mean, so we're excited about the season, the offseason moves. I know that. I mean, look, the good news is, guys, it only takes two or three right moves here and there to get us right back in the playoffs. We're going to be healthier with Keanu Neal, with Debo coming back. But the offensive line is still a huge question mark because you're telling me that Sombrello is going to be able to do this job at right tackle right now.
That's what I'm telling you, and because that's what they're telling us. If you're just joining us, we were talking about Michael Bennett, and look how this show is ahead of the curve. We were literally talking about Michael Bennett.
That's what we do.
And literally this trade happens with the Patriots as they trade for Michael Bennett. The story out of Philly was Bennett didn't want to take a pay cut and that the Philadelphia Eagles were shopping him. Today they get a partner and they move him. He is going to the Patriots. The biggest part of this, though, and I want to stress this again with what Bo was saying, if this doesn't work, for example, they get him in camp and they realize it's not what they expected or he's not doing the job, Patriots cut him. There's no dead money. It doesn't hurt them in any fashion. So this is a win in the sense that if Michael Bennett's motivated because he's PO'd, right?
Is his brother still on the Patriots? He's gone. Martellus, that's the other older better back in the day.
And he comes in and balls, you get performance. If he doesn't, you cut him. It doesn't hurt your cap. That's the smart play by Belichick. That's the part where teams go, yeah, we'll take him on, and you're taking on $22 million of dead money, and the guy doesn't work, and then you cut him, and all of a sudden now you're still on the hook for 10.
But when you see these moves that other teams are making right now, and again, everybody's got their own situation with the cap, but it makes the Vic Beasley situation just so untenable. The fact that you got a guy who doesn't get after the quarterback consistently, we're paying $12.8 million for Vic. You know, and like we joked around that promo that they cut that's running right now. We hope that someday Vic gets that edge, Carl, and then he can talk about his Hall of Fame speech, what complete meatheads Dukes and Bell were for tormenting him for a full offseason.
Sure.
Look, and by the way, don't get it twisted. Nothing would give us more excitement, more fun to be on. We want to talk about teams going to the playoffs and winning big games. We want to talk about 7-9 teams. So if Dan Quinn can put the work in, and by the way, if Dan can do what nobody else can do, apparently, including Bryant Young with Vic Beasley, then we'll take a knee. But right now, it just seems like such a hell of a long shot.
Well, he's had who was here? Who was the coach before Coach Young? I'm trying to think that was on that coached our Super Bowl team, defensive line. Coach Cox. So he had Coach Cox. He's had now Bryant Young, who obviously stepped away for personal reasons. And now, you know, Jess Simpson is basically coming back to coach our defensive line.
Former Buford coach, right?
So I don't know what the secret sauce is. I don't know what you need to do.
But doesn't it seem like a fantasy? Doesn't it seem like a pipe dream at first blush? Now you're going to get the hands-on and you're going to figure this out. You're going to unlock the riddle.
And
what's the number? Is there a magic number? 8 sacks?
No,
9 sacks?
No, it's double digits, Mike. It's got to be double digits.
I mean, I don't even care if the sacks. Just get the quarterback or make some turnovers, strip sacks. Just get there. Because you know what we're talking about? We're talking almost literally half
inches,
a stride.
Inches.
Half a stride between Vic and having double-digit sacks. But, again, that doesn't mean jack unless you're getting the guy on the ground.
Yeah, I just am not sold, and I've always said this. You know, let me use this example, okay? So Saquon Barkley, you think he can play?
Yeah.
You saw him for one season, right?
Mm-hmm.
The problem is we got fooled with the Vic season. The totality of the work tells me he's not the player we thought, but he can be a good player.
Right.
And the problem Falcon fans like me are having is I want him to be that 15.5 sack guy. Vic Beasley's more like a 6.5 sack guy.
Right.
And that's what we're dealing with.
What D Ford is with Kansas City. Hey, man, we'll come back. Mike Conte's back on the clock.
Conte's back.
We got a little in case you miss it. We're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Come on down. Drink some ice cold beer. Yeah, even the Patriot fans are doing it. They're not bad people. Come on down. Have some Hey Man Ale, Carl.
Pretty busy.
Who busy?
Busy.
What? I'm very busy right now.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte.
Have I got good news for you?
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
All right, we're going to tell you what it took the Patriots to get Michael Bennett. He has been traded, according to reports, to the Patriots. It's a guy we talked about maybe to the Falcons last year. It didn't happen. The Eagles picked him up. What did it take? We'll tell you coming up. Also, Chuck Smith next hour. We will also talk some dogs, guys. Believe it or not, the guy that left the dogs finally was on the field. And there are reports about what Justin Fields looked like. We'll tell you all about that coming up. But right now, it's time for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte, brought to you by Resurgence Orthopedics. I told this story yesterday, Conte, and I know you've been on the road and doing a great job with Atlanta United, but my daughter Trinity broke her foot while you were out, and we're taking her to Resurgence Orthopedics. From neck to toes, muscles and bones get moving again with Resurgence Orthopedics. So they're going to see her for her second appointment next week. And I think she's getting another cast on. She's got one on now.
But, I heard you're going to drop like $1,500 on a scooter. That's pretty cool.
Well, listen, the wheelchair, they got all these devices. I'm like, we don't need all that. She can get around.
Mike Conti, Carl told her to climb up those stairs on that bloody stump. I thought that was very mean-spirited.
Yeah.
Old school, Mike.
Well, what's going on, Conti?
You got to be old school. I mean, that's how you get tough, right? Just rub some dirt on it, walk it
exactly
off.
Exactly right.
Right? Broken foot,
exactly
no problem. Right. Walk it off. Well, get well soon to Trin, and we know Resurgence Orthopedics will take really good care of her. So, you know, we've all interacted with people that have had trouble paying their bets. And, you know, there are a couple man laws that are instilled in you when you're a very young man. You know, always open the door for a woman, never shake a man's hand sitting down, things like that. One of them is absolutely always paying your bets. Well, there's this guy in upstate New York that had a little bit of trouble paying his bets on his Super Bowl squares, which like was a month ago, so this must have been a very high-stakes squares game.
How many squares did he buy, Mike? Because you got to pay that off pretty quick.
He however many squares he bought, he found himself unable to pay it off. So he did what any rational person would do. He tied himself up, threw himself in the bed of his truck, and called police and said he was robbed.
That's great.
That's going to extreme lengths to not pay off your bet. Turns out it did not take the cops in North Tonawanda or Tonawanda, New York, very long to figure out what was going on here. That's outside of Buffalo. They determined that this guy, his name is Robert Brandle, had entered fake names in his $50,000 squares pool. $50,000. And he put fake names in there thinking that he would get most of the winnings, but he picked the wrong squares. It's like the guy who stacks the card deck in poker hoping to get a four of a kind, and he does, but he stacked it with twos. That's what this guy did. So he ended up being short on payment. He had some guys coming after him, I guess, so he called police, said that he had been robbed, and then fessed up to not paying off his squares pool. Now he's charged.
That's just not right.
He's charged with fraud and falsely reporting an incident.
Yeah, I was robbed.
I don't know what's worse.
Time me up.
I don't know what's worse. The guy who runs the pool and puts fraudulent names and squares trying to stack it so he can win, or the guy whose wife always magically wins the pool without any proof or accountability, because we've dealt with those types of people as well. I don't know what's worse.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, we did the squares at our football party, and it was like people were crying foul because my wife won like the second quarter and the third quarter.
Well,
but someone's got to get the ruler out and make the lines, Mike. Yeah, I mean, it's hard work, okay? Someone's got to.
I guess. I mean, we've all been in those pools where the guy who runs it mysteriously wins sometimes, and you wonder how he could be that lucky more than once. Okay, in Marion, Indiana, a guy decides that it's time for him to go buy a gun. You know, wants to have the protection, the self-defense, whatever. So he goes, buys a gun. Doesn't get a license for it, by the way. And he decides the best way for him to holster his new gun is in his waistband. You know, you see,
see
that all the time in Hollywood, right? You know, the guy's looking tough with the gat in their waistband. Well, Mark Anthony Jones, 46-year-old man in Marion, Indiana, told police, so you probably know where this is going, that he went out to take a walk with his new gun in his waistband, literally holstered in his waistband. And he did not buy a waistband. It was in, like, the band of his jeans. As he was walking, the gun started to slip. So he grabbed the gun, trying to keep it from slipping any further, and the gun went off. And
you might want to get some training.
He needs some other things first. The gun went off, and it wounded him in a unfortunate place. An unfortunate place.
Oh, no.
Private parts?
The twig or the berries, Mike?
According to the police, it entered just above the twig and exited through the berries.
Ouch! Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
that's going to take some work.
Oh, that's painful. I don't even want to think about that.
Investigators in Grant County, Indiana, have not yet determined if they will throw any criminal charges at this guy for the self-inflicted wound.
Ankle holster.
Yeah, but put it in a real holster. Don't
a real
put it
holster.
In your belt like yes. you're a Holly, like, yes. like Mike Conti saying.
Right.
Like you're Stallone.
Right.
Okay? Get a real holster if you're going to do
that. Or you're Joe Pesci at Goodfellas.
Yes.
Hey, Hendry, I'm with you, brother. Bad idea. Meanwhile, Mike, I'll give you some of the sights and sounds. While you're giving us a fantastic handcrafted Mike Conti, in case you missed it, we've got a scene right at a barbershop with guys debating LeBron versus Michael.
Yeah, you know,
it's all Carl's fault.
I was going to ask you about that. When I came on with you guys for this segment, it sounded like there was a verbal altercation in progress behind you. Is it a...
Well-mannered
sports debate, or is it getting real then?
Oh, yeah.
It's okay, above board. But five guys are talking about it, and they were like, Michael or LeBron. Of course, Carl's a LeBron guy. I'm a Michael guy. And the guys are going round and round, and then we all joked around about, imagine Gary Payton dinging up Russell Westbrook, he'd cry. And I said if LeBron had to go up against those Chuck Daly Pistons, he'd probably quit the NBA altogether, Mike.
Bill Laimbeer against LeBron James. Look, we talk to Arthur Trish about this all the time because Arthur was around the NBA in the good old days when, you know, Steph Curry would be held accountable if he hit a three-pointer and then turn around to the opposing bench and shimmy. Rick Mahorn would go out and would, you know, basically assault people if they did that. And same with Bill Laimbeer and same with Daryl Dawkins who was the guy in the Blazers that fought with Daryl Dawkins? His name escapes me. Back in the late 70s, there were fights every night in the NBA with Adam Jackson. It's just the way it was. So, to your point, if LeBron had to play against guys like that, yeah. I mean, who knows? Here's how ridiculous the LeBron coverage got. Down in Mexico, 3 days where the only TV channel I can understand is ESPN Deportes. In Mexico.
Right.
I don't know what the heck they're saying, but I can see, that's a picture of LeBron James. I know who they're talking about. Or that's a picture of, Lionel Messi. They were doing, like, around the horn on ESPN Deportes about LeBron James. And they wouldn't translate what LeBron would say. They would only put up the subtitles. So they kept playing the same quote over and over and over. LeBron talking about how, I just did it my way, and I did it by being me. And I'm like, God, shut up. Like, enough.
Got to love yourself, Mike Conti.
He certainly loves himself, doesn't he?
Got to love yourself.
You know, it's a big moment for me. I grew up watching Michael, and to surpass him the way I did tonight,
it was
an emotional moment. I'm going to cry right now.
I think Mike tweeted at him. And said congratulations, is rare. I don't even know if it was Michael Jordan because I don't even know if he's on social media.
One of his assistants.
No, but that is true. There was a tweet sent in his direction. It's just like, God, LeBron, you got to respect him as a player. Amazingly good player. Probably the best player in the world for at least a 5-year stretch, if not longer. And probably is still one of the two or three best players in the game, even though he's on a lousy team. But
yes.
You know where I really started to sour on LeBron, and this sounds like such a little thing. A couple months ago on LeBron's Instagram, we see this video posted of LeBron in a coaching moment with his son in like a 8-year-old basketball game somewhere in California. LeBron puts his arm around his son. Hey, you know, I know you're upset, but you made two very big plays, and here they were. You passed it to this guy, and you had a role in the game-winning shot. Very nice. Then I realized who mic'd up LeBron, filmed it, and put it on Instagram. On LeBron's Instagram. Really think about
that. He's got people.
He's got staff. He's got people. He's got a production company.
I mean, like, who does that? Who walks into their 8-year-old kid's basketball game mic'd up, hoping to have a tender moment with his son that can be sprayed all over the place on Instagram? And again, I have a lot of respect for LeBron. I don't want to dislike him, but stuff like that makes me think, isn't that just a little bit narcissistic? Just a tad.
People want to know what's going on with his life.
Yeah,
Mike.
He's exploiting his children, Carl.
No,
he's exploiting
no,
his
no,
children.
Mike, I'm
they
not
want to know what
that.
Happens in his downtime.
Yeah,
they want to know what happens in his downtime. The funniest thing, by the way, Special K's out here, Ant's out here, his boy. They're debating with a couple of their friends. The funniest thing out of this debate, it's in case you missed it with Mike Conti, which brought us to this whole LeBron conversation, is one of the guys was like, let me tell you something. John Stockton wouldn't even be in the league today.
I'm like, what are you talking about?
I go,
first off, LeBron, could you handle a hard foul? I mean, we said the 80s. First off, the Eastern Conference back then, That's Mortal Kombat night in, night out. And by the way, Mike Conti, to your point earlier, LeBron would have to make all his free throws. He'd be at the stripe 50 times. You know, trying to get to the line in that Eastern Conference back in the day.
Conti, good stuff, man. We'll talk to you in a little bit in case you missed it brought to you this hour by Resurgence Orthopedics, guys. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk some dogs and a former dog who finally got on the field. What did people say about Justin Fields? You'll hear it next on Dukes and Bell.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.